And welcome to worship here at Romeo United Methodist Church. It's a pleasure to be here with you. My name is Pastor Devin, and I'm glad we can gather. Glad we have this time. Glad that even the sun's shining a little bit out there. Isn't that crazy to see that little yellow thing in the sky? It seems like it's been a while, but I'm glad we are here. I'm glad we have this time to worship. And I have a few quick things to share with us, as always, to get us started for today. The first is just a reminder that on February 11th, we're going to have this year's annual Chili Cook-Off and Talent Show. We'll be serving the chili about 5 p.m., and then we usually head up here about 6 o'clock for the talent show. If you have a if you have a favorite chili recipe, we'd love to have you share that with us and enter the competition. Not that there's any bragging rights at it, but I'm trying to improve my place a little bit this year over last, so you gotta contend with my secret ingredient this year. But that'll be for the chili, and then we need talents. We need some people to share those talents with us. So if you have a song to sing, an instrument to play, a talent to share with us, we'd love to have you sign up and join us for that talent show, and that will be February 11th. Also, this coming Saturday, Becky and the Women of Faith asked me to remind that their meeting will be this Saturday at 1 o'clock here at the church. They will be serving a soup and salad lunch to go with that meeting, so you can come and enjoy some food. If you haven't joined the women for their meetings before, you're all welcome to attend and see what they're up to, what they're planning for the coming months and year. But that is Saturday at 1 o'clock. And then I have a sales pitch coming from our choir and our reforming or newly reforming bell choir that'll be starting up here. That if anyone is interested in joining them, the choir rehearses on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock, and they're always looking to add a new member or two if you want to join them. And now the bell choir will be starting to meet immediately after that at 8 o'clock. So you can come for one or both. Join the choir at 7 and then the bell choir at 8, as they'll be getting, they got some dates on the schedule and they'll be playing for us here in the near future. So we are thankful to Irene for her leadership of our choir and our bell choir. Thank you, bud. She's been doing a wonderful job and we are so thankful for that. And then I have just one last announcement that I'm going to make this morning, and it's one that I'm excited that I get to share. And the word is spread around a little bit, so it's not a surprise to everyone, but I am happy to share that right down front with me, I have Margie Baldwin. Margie has been hired as our new Director of Christian Education. So will you welcome her with me? And I know you all take a minute to extend that warm Romeo welcome to her as you have a chance, and we'll be hearing more from her. She's going to be working with us going forward here. We are thankful for that. But those are my announcements that I had to share, and I'm going to encourage you all to join me now in our opening hymn. We're going to stand together as we sing hymn number 569. We have a story to tell to the nations. Will you stand with me and sing number 569?
Our story.
Will you pray with me? God of light and God of love, we come this morning with eyes stinging from the brightness of your glory. We've become so accustomed to the darkness that your radiant light, it sometimes overwhelms us. Open our eyes to the light of your dawn, that our souls may be flooded with love and with mercy and with joy. Open our hearts to receive your message of comfort and peace and security, that we may find rest in your loving, protective presence. Open our spirits to follow the path you have put before us, that we may lead lives committed to your way. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture reading for this morning is going to come to us from Isaiah. We're going to hear Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. And if you wish to follow along in the pew Bibles, it can be found on page 606 of the Old Testament. The righteous reign of the coming king. But there will be no gloom for those who are in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. And this ends our first reading for today. And our choir has an anthem that they prepared for us. So I'm going to invite you to sit back and enjoy as you hear the words of thy word.
I will not forget.
Thank you, choir. At this time, I'd like to invite any of the students, children, youth, anyone who'd like to join us to come forward on the steps. Oh, are you sleepy? Good morning, boys and girls. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good? Some of you are hiding over here so I can't see you. I see you over there. All right. Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're doing good. I'm glad you can come up and join me today. And I had a question. I'm going to tell you right off the bat. It's a loaded question. Before I even ask it, it's a loaded question. Do you know what that means?
You have a lot of stuff.
He says it means I have a lot of stuff to say. I do have a lot to say, you're right. A loaded question means I'm kind of setting you up. I know the answer. I know what the answer should be. I'm kind of setting you up with it. It's loaded. It's not really a fair question even. But my loaded question for you is, how many of you guys are perfect?
Sam.
Everyone.
Sam.
Everyone.
Everyone? Really? You're perfect? Do you ever make a mistake? Never do anything you're not supposed to? Okay, all right. How many of your parents are perfect? Or your grandparents are perfect? Or your friends are perfect? Do you guys know any perfect people? How many people out here, if we ask, do you think, should we see any hands go and say, how many of them out there are perfect? Not too many hands, right? That's why it's a loaded question. I knew the answer. That's right. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes sometimes. We do things we're not supposed to, or say things we're not supposed to, or, we might do those things that aren't perfect. And I kind of was reminded of that through something that happened last night right here at the church. Some of you are here, and some of you are here. You guys know what happened last night at the church here? You guys know what happened last night? What happened last night here at the church? We square danced. There was square dancing right here at the church. It happened in the fellowship hall directly beneath where we're sitting right now. And you might be wondering why I say being reminded that we're not perfect reminds me of square dancing. Well, I'm going to tell you, there wasn't a lot of perfect square dancing that happened last night. It's just the fact of the matter. It wasn't.
And
you were pretty good. I'll give you that. But you weren't perfect. We were all good, but we weren't perfect. And I have proof of it. And so I wanted to share that with you guys. So make sure you can see one of the TVs here, guys. There's one here and there's one behind me. And those who are here are owing and eyeing. But we have a just short video. Michelle, can you share that with us?
And right full mile and full mile now. Promenade your partner and promenade around you. And get back on the road and round you. And now when you're there, and one and three before. Now right hand coming, right hand side, go all the way around, all the way around. And down, two and four, no four. Now right hand side, go all the way around. Back right out and one and three go forward as a couple, showing hands, smile to the camera, ready to the right, slow turn of the people, and shuffle, one, two, three, shuffle back. One, two, ready with the right.
And you're following me around. Did it look like fun?
Yeah.
Did it look like fun? If you were here, was it fun? Yes! It was. It was a fun evening. We had fun. And I had fun watching it. And I don't even know who made mistakes in there. I don't know if people were perfect or not. But I have a feeling we all made a misstep or two in our dancing. But the reason it reminded me that we're not perfect, and that's okay, but what it did remind me of, if you saw the faces of the people in that video, did you guys see what was on every face that I saw in that room last night? What was on their faces?
Smiles.
Smiles! That's right. People were having fun, and we were laughing, and we were dancing, and we were enjoying fellowship and being together, and there was joy in that room last night. And that was such a positive thing for me. I so much enjoyed it, and I think even last night that God had a smile on his face as he watched us do our line dancing and our square dancing. Because God loves when we get together and we're joyful and we have fun and we have fellowship and we do those things together. And God didn't care that we weren't perfect. God didn't care that we missed a step or that we might have spun the wrong way a time or two or danced with the wrong partner a time or two. God didn't care about any of that. God was happy to see us gathered and being joyful together. And so I wanted that to be a reminder for all of you guys, for all of us, that we don't have to be perfect. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. God knows that we're not going to be perfect. But God wants us to be joyful and enjoy one another and enjoy those times we have to have fun together. So just remember that, all right? We want you to do your best. We want you to give everything you got. But when you make mistakes, we understand, because us adults, we make mistakes too. And we still love you guys, and we are glad you're here. We're glad you can join us for those fun things. And I have it on good authority that we're going to do that again. And so I hope more of you can join us. I hope you can come and we can have a whole big dancing crew down there doing those dances, all right? So before I send you back, I see Heidi's here ready to take you back. I'm going to say a quick word of prayer for you guys, all right? Can we pray together? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I give you thanks. I give you thanks for each of these little faces that are up here with me, these children and the youth and students, the smiles that I see on their faces, Lord, those smiles that bring me joy, that bring joy to so many of our hearts. But Lord, we know that you are happy. You are joyful when we gather, when we celebrate, when we worship, when we do those things in your name. We know that it brings you joy as well. So Lord, help us to be those who are bringers of joy into our lives and into the lives of others, knowing that we don't have to be perfect, knowing that we just have to give our best. Because we know that you love us, God, no matter what. And we give thanks and we pray this today in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, thank you guys for coming up. You're welcome to head back to Odyssey with Heidi if you want, or back to your seats. Thank you, guys. Well, I'm glad you're all right. Well, we do give thanks for the joyful noise that can be made in our church, whether it's through dancing or through the voices of little ones in worship. We do give thanks for that. We take this time to share those joys as well as other concerns that we have with each other and with our God. And I do just want to say again a word of thanks and a word of celebration for our square dancing to Sandy and Sue, who helped organize it last night. It was a fun evening of gathering together, and I would encourage you, if you hear we're doing it again, come join us. I was out there, I promise. You don't have to be a good dancer to do it. It was fun. And so I offer my thanks and my celebration of that last night. And the one other concern that I have, or it's a praise and a concern, I guess. We had Howard Hicks stopped in a little bit earlier this week, and he shared with me and Shelley that he had been in the hospital for about 10 days before Christmas. He had to go in and have a procedure done on his heart. He was in the hospital for about 10 days, but he was doing well. He looked well when we were able to speak with him for a little bit, but just continued prayers of healing for Howard in the days ahead from following his procedure. But those are the only ones that I had actually shared with me this morning, so if we have others who'd like to share, Nathan's got the microphone here behind me if you have a joy or concern to share.
I asked for prayers for my youngest son, Jeff, who was just diagnosed with cancer in both lungs and in his abdomen. He's got a spot on his brain. He's going in for an MRI on Tuesday to determine whether that's cancerous. And then he meets with an oncologist on Thursday to determine the procedures to go through.
Certainly prayers for your son, Jeff, as he as he does those appointments and finds out what's next, we keep him in our prayers, Ned.
I got word this past week that a friend of mine that I worked with passed away. He was in his 70s, Steve Carberry.
First for Steve Carberry's family as they mourn his loss and they make those arrangements. Thank you, Dave. Are there any others this morning?
Continue prayers for Beth.
Continue prayers for Beth. We keep Beth in our prayers absolutely. Thank you, Nathan. I heard a whisper. Whose birthday? Whose? Are you sneaking by us here? Oh, it's not today. All right. We'll let a pass on that one. He's saying it's tomorrow. But happy birthday tomorrow then. How's that? All right. Well, we take these that we've heard, knowing that there are others, knowing that there are other needs in our lives and in our world, knowing that there are other things that we celebrate as well. We take a moment, we share them with God, as we know God hears and God responds. So take this moment in silent prayer. God of our light and our salvation. Sometimes we prefer to live in that darkness that's in our world, embracing the safety and anonymity of the shadows. Sometimes, Lord, the yoke of our calling, it feels too heavy. We seek to slip out from underneath that bar across our shoulders, that calling you have placed in our lives. Lord, in those times, forgive our fear. Forgive our aversion to the light. Forgive our unresponsiveness to your call. Forgive our willful blindness and deafness to your way. Help us to know deep in our soul that you are our light, and you are our salvation. Lord, you are our joy and wonder. You are our very life. We ask this day that you once again let that Spirit fall afresh on us. Let it strengthen us. Let it open us that we may hear your voice once again calling out to us. Lord, we pray that that same Spirit be with those in need this day, those who are hurting physically, those who are hurting emotionally, those who are hurting spiritually. Wrap them in your loving care. Grant them your peace and your patience. Allow them a glimpse of the love and care that you have for each of us. And Father, we pray for our world. We pray for our country. We pray for those in leadership, all who are tasked with leading. We pray that they turn to you for guidance and strength in tough times. We pray that as a people, we work to heal divides and hurts and grow closer together rather than further apart. And we lift all these prayers to you in the name of the Holy One, your Son, the one who taught us to pray together this prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'll invite you to sing with me again in our next hymn. It's number 277, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. Will you stand with me as you're able for hymn number 277? Seated. As you are, we take this moment, we take this time each Sunday just to take a moment to give thanks, to offer our thanks to our Lord, thanks to our God for all the provisions placed in our lives, all those blessings that are placed in our lives, and we also recognize the small portion we give back, the blessings we can be to others through our times of tithes and offerings. We, of course, have our offering box on the organ that can be left here today, and also our giving online at romeoumc.com. We are thankful for the opportunity we have to serve so many others in our community, our country, around the world through our giving. And as such, let us offer just a word of thanks and a word of prayer for this collection today. Lord, what can we offer in thanksgiving for the gift of light and life and love that we have received from you and from our beloved community here on earth? Today, Lord, help us to offer our very all, our resources, our energy, our time, our very selves to answer your call to follow you without fear. Lord, we know you will lead us. We know you will have us be, have us go where you would have us go to serve those who are in need. So help us to follow this day. Help us to follow always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before our second scripture reading here, I just have to tell you, sometimes God amazes me how God works. Because it was just last Sunday we were dehanging the greens. We were taking down the Christmas decorations, getting all that stuff cleaned up and put away. And I say thank you to everyone who helped make that possible and got it taken care of last Sunday. But it was during that time that Beth Sova, she said to me, "Oh, shoot, I made a couple of new banners. I meant to bring them in. I meant to have them to hang up. I'll bring them for Wednesday. They'll be here for next Sunday." I said, "Sounds wonderful. Thank you, Beth. I appreciate the efforts her and her mother, Linda, have been doing to make those banners." I didn't see those banners until this morning when I came in. And we see them up there. We have, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." My friends, I had literally picked this scripture weeks ago. The scripture we're going to hear right now. And that's what Beth brought in for us to have this day. God works. God brings us together. The Spirit moves amongst us. So hear these words from our second scripture reading. It's from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. It can be found on the page 3 of the New Testament in our pew Bibles. Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Jesus calls his first disciples. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus ministers to crowds of people. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This, my friends, is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I know I use this with the kids, and I guess I have a loaded question for you as well here this morning. I was wondering, how many of you have ever been lost? Probably seems like a loaded question coming from a pastor, but let me assure you, I'm not digging for deep, dark secrets here. That's not what I'm going for. I'm actually talking about how many of you have ever been lost, really, truly, physically lost when looking for a location or in a place you weren't unsure of. Driving down the road, trying to find that address that you had scribbled on a scrap of paper that you can't find anymore, wondering where you're going. Traveling down the freeway, unsure of which exit you were supposed to take. You should have written it down, but you didn't. Maybe a walk in the woods when you suddenly realize you don't remember which path you took to get where you're at. You're not quite sure which one gets you out of those woods. Or perhaps you've been lost wandering aimlessly through one of those massive grocery stores or big box stores trying to find that last item that your wife gave you on the to-get list. I've done all those things at one time or another in my life. I've been lost in all those ways. And of course, the long-running joke is that men believe we're so good with directions that we don't ever need to stop and ask for directions. We don't need help getting unlost. But then I just recently came across a survey that found that the average male driver travels an estimated 276 extra miles each year due to their reluctance to ask for directions or admit that we just don't know where we're going. Those researchers estimated that it comes out to about $4,000 in wasted gas over the course of our lifetime that we'll waste simply because we won't admit we don't know where we're going. But I'm going to be honest, that's why I'm extremely thankful for a little device that travels with me everywhere I go. It has for a number of years now. It is my global positioning system. My GPS is what's on the screens. And of course, most of us probably remember when they started out as those standalone devices like we see on our TVs. You had to get the GPS unit itself. Anymore, they're built in, baked right into most of our cars, or at the very least, we have them on our cell phones, right? We have that GPS that'll get us where we need to go. And in my previous career, I worked as a service technician. I serviced equipment all over Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan, and of all the tools I ever carried in my truck, I think that GPS was probably the most valuable one I had, getting me from location A to B to C, helping me find the location I was supposed to be working at. And just this week, I again found myself traveling. It was actually later in the evening, and it was dark. And I knew generally that I needed to head south, but I didn't know how to get to where I was going. But my GPS, it did know. and its dings and its reminders to exit, they provided that assistance. They provided me guidance for my journey, and sure enough, by the time I was done, it delivered me straight to the driveway of the house I was searching for. And I'll be honest, I've come to depend on that GPS over the years. But of course, like most modern technology, these devices, they're only as good as the users, only as good as the person who's operating those devices. And I'm reminded of this fact from one of my favorite TV shows. I know I've talked about it before, The Office. And I also know it's been a while since I've used an Office reference in a sermon, so I decided I was going to rectify that today. You remember the series starred Steve Carell as Michael Scott. He was the bumbling boss of a small regional paper company. More often than not, he got himself into pretty ridiculous situations because of his lack of intelligence, we'll call it. But as it turned out, I remembered that Michael enjoyed and appreciated his GPS about as much as I do, and I'm going to have you go ahead and watch this scene of Michael. He's out with one of his salesmen making some sales calls. Go ahead, Michelle.
Proceed to the highlighted route. Then route guidance will begin.
Why do you use that thing? Let's them know where you are at all times.
Ooh.
The government, spy satellites, private detectives, ex-girlfriends.
Make the next right turn.
How do they know? How does this know where to turn? That's very impressive.
Proceed straight.
Well, we're 0 for 6. Last chance is the Elmhurst Country Club. Other side of the lake on the southeast side.
I don't get it. I really don't get it. I thought this would work. I threw everything I had at that guy and nothing.
That's how it goes sometimes, you know? You lose everything, and everything falls apart, and eventually you die and no one remembers you.
That is a very good point, Dwayne.
Make a right turn.
Wait. No. It means bear right.
No.
Up there.
It said right. It said take a right.
No. Look. It means go up to the right, bear right, over the bridge, and hook up with 307.
Make a right.
Maybe it's
turn.
A shortcut, Dwayne. It said go to the right.
It can't mean that. There's a lake right there.
I think it knows where it's going.
This is the
machine knows.
This is the lake.
Stop yelling at me.
No, it's up there. There's no lake.
Here. Remain calm. I have trained for this. Okay. Exit the window. Here we go.
Make a U-turn, if possible.
Look up for Layton. Michael! Are you okay? Swim for it! I got you! Michael! Let go! Come on!
You sure you're okay?
Fine.
Good. That is what's most important.
Did you get the rental insurance? Because that is pretty important, too, at a time like this.
Perhaps Michael put a little too much trust into that GPS. Or he took it a little too literal, a little too legalistic. Didn't use his common sense. Even as his coworker, even as Dwight yelled at him, this isn't the road. He was following that GPS, or at least what he believed that GPS was telling him. But also, perhaps this reminds us that no matter how good the directions are, no matter how good the direction we're given in our lives, it's still up to us to follow them. It's still up to us to choose the path that we'll take. And as I reflected on what has become my dependence on my own GPS, it made me think and stop and wonder, wouldn't it be nice if we also had a life decisions GPS? Wouldn't that be nice to have dinging when we have those life decisions to make? For those most crucial moments when we have to make a decision to be guided with those directions. A prompt telling us to go left or right, choose option A, choose option B. To have those caution signs flare up, the flags, the warnings of obstacles ahead. have those big decisions made for us instead of having to choose ourselves. Because sometimes we might not even realize that a big decision is slipping by us. Because sometimes those big decisions don't seem so big in the moment. We don't realize the impact they're going to have on our lives. Sometimes those small things become quite big things. And sometimes the things we think are big things, they turn out to be quite small. But however, no matter what that decision is, however big or small it might be, we are also reminded in the Bible that God is present in all things. That God's in all things, all decisions, big or small. The sacred is present in the ordinary, everyday parts of our lives, the decisions we make, which, as I thought about it, really tells me that there is no unimportant decision we make, because God is present in each of those decisions. And each of them have consequences on our lives, consequences that will impact our lives and the lives of others around us. And last week in John's Gospel, we heard about the first encounter that some of Jesus' disciples had with him and the decisions they made. Remember that it was John the Baptist who announced to them, "That is Jesus, that is the Messiah, that is the one we have been waiting for." And they decided to follow him to see what he was really about. And then this week in our reading from Matthew, we have a slightly different story, a different telling of Jesus crossing paths with those disciples. And there have been some who have questioned how these two stories can coexist. If the disciples met Jesus when John told them about him, and then they met him again on these boats, how are these things both possible? But I think when we look at it, I don't see a particular issue with these two stories. Because last week we were told that those brothers, Andrew and Simon Peter, that they were interested in Jesus. They spent some time with him, seeing what he was about. However, that's also where that encounter ends. We're not told that those men became disciples of Jesus, that they chose to dedicate their lives to him, that they chose to follow him. The scene ended last week. And that, to me, is where this scene from Matthew picks up the story. Because it was sometime after that first encounter that Jesus was walking along the lake when he sees those men in their boat, waiting for those fish to swim into their nets. And those two men happened to again be Simon Peter and Andrew. And for some of us, sometimes it can be hard to believe what happens next. Because Jesus basically offers them a new job. He offers them a new job that has no pay and only the vaguest of descriptions. He tells them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? What does that even mean? "I'll make you fishers of men." But lo and behold, we're told those disciples, they accept this offer. Now, if the sales pitch had been, "Hey, come with me and I'll make you more money than you've ever made fishing," or "You should see the benefit package I have to offer you at the end of your life," that would have made a little bit of sense to me that they had followed that. But this invitation and their response, it just doesn't seem likely, does it? Yet we're told that both James and John and Simon Peter and Andrew, they all took Jesus up on this offer. They dropped their nets, dropped their whole livelihoods, and followed Jesus off to a life that they don't know, a life they can't even imagine. They chose to follow him. And as is common in our lives still today, people often try to explain away big fish stories. They try to make sense of these instances, try to rationalize why someone would do that. And this is no exception. There's been commentators and theologians over the years that have said it wasn't uncommon for young men to leave their occupations and follow a respected rabbi, to follow his teachings, to do that sort of thing. They say it might sound unlikely to us, but it was common to happen in that first century. But the thing I struggle with is that at this point, Jesus wasn't recognized as anything more than a carpenter. He hadn't started his earthly ministry yet. He wouldn't have been a teacher or a rabbi worth following. He wouldn't have had any clout for those young men to drop their nets and follow him. His ministry was only just beginning. But it's if we consider this as a follow-up story to what we read about in John last week, that it starts to make a little more sense, doesn't it? Because then we know that these men, they've already met Jesus. They've already spoke with him. They've already heard him. They've already seen what he was about. They have some knowledge of him. And when this invitation comes, something moves in them. Something dings in their minds, and it says, yes, follow him. And they literally dropped everything, left their lives behind to follow. And on occasion, we too face big decisions. Decisions about family, friends, jobs, our future, our faith. We have those big choices to make. We might find ourselves standing at that fork in the road, not sure which way we're being called to. And we have those moments that we feel we have to act or make a decision for a particular reason. Something is moving. Something is speaking within us. Something we likely can't always explain. And we might feel the need to sacrifice something we would rather keep in order to follow what that voice is saying. We've all had that time where we're asked to step out in faith, not do what was expected. Those moments happen. I believe they're real. I know I've experienced them. But then I also know the reality is that most of the time in our lives, our decisions, those choices we have to make, they aren't nearly quite that dramatic. We don't have to drop everything and start our lives over again. That doesn't happen all that often in our lives. The calling we see on the disciples' lives in that scene is more spectacular than something that happens in our own lives on a regular basis. And I'll be honest, my life, perhaps like yours, is rather routine in many ways. There are things that I have to get done each and every day, expectations. Things at home like feeding the children, taking the children to activities, bathing the children, putting the children down to sleep, cleaning up after the children, getting ready for the children for the next day. There's a bit of a trend in my life, if you haven't guessed. But there are also things here at the church that I must do, like returning phone calls and messages, preparing for the next week's worship or Bible study, other meetings, the administrative tasks that must be done that keep the church running. And often much of the urgency I feel is usually around from the urgency of keeping up, of making sure those things are done and ready to go. And often much of it doesn't feel particularly holy. It doesn't feel specifically holy in the day-to-day activities. And make no mistake, my day is filled with pleasant people that I get to interact with. My day is filled with pleasant experiences I get to have, and it's certainly something I enjoy doing. But it doesn't normally feel particularly spectacular, day in and day out. And maybe someday the call will come. Maybe you, maybe I, will be tasked with doing something truly spectacular that God will ask us to. But for now, most of our day-to-days feel somewhat less dramatic than what the disciples experienced. Most days, our invitation from God, it happens in the situations we find ourselves in. Our daily, day-in and day-out situations. And I have to believe that Jesus' disciples likewise had days that felt a little less sensational than that first experience. As they walked up and down the Sea of Galilee, from village to village, as they went through Samaria and back to Jerusalem again, maybe they too had days when things felt a little less spectacular, when things were going a little slower. They had those days when their faithfulness, it felt a little more modest than at other times. I think it's an important reminder us that sometimes we forget the importance of the details, the importance of the journey of faith that we're on. Because let's face it, we as a church, and this is not just Romeo, this is the church around the world, we like to focus on those dramatic conversions, the overwhelming encounters with God when people's hearts break open. We like to experience those ourselves. We like to talk about those powerful moments of prayer and worship that happen. And they do happen, make no mistake about it. We seek those experiences, those mountaintop experiences in our lives. For being honest, we seek perfection. We want the very best that God has to offer. But then when we fail to achieve it, or we don't have that experience, we start to assume that it's because we've done something wrong. We've failed in some way. But I don't believe that's the case at all. Because hear me this morning, I fully believe that God is in the details. God calls us in every hour of every day. God invites us to be friends with those who are searching for something, searching for companionship. God calls us to practice kindness every day, to pray for our daily bread and to pray for those who are in need. God calls us in those ordinary moments. We live out our faithfulness in showing up and worshiping, in studying, in living our lives. the routine, everyday ways that we follow Jesus, the ways, the times that we read scripture, the times that we are welcoming to the stranger, the times that we love people, those are the times that we are living out our calling, living out our faith. God is at work in a variety of unspectacular ways in this very moment. God is present whenever grace is shared, whenever hope is proclaimed, whenever healing comes into the lives of one of his children. God is present. Because love spreads word by word, moment by moment, action by action. The bucket fills one drop at a time as we pour into it. Wrongs are righted one by one. Our calling is still the same as those disciples when Jesus called them on the lakeside. Our calling is to be faithful. Our calling is to live into God's love in the ordinary ways it presents itself each and every day. And if we really pay attention, we really focus, if we really look for those times in our lives, we'll see that an unspectacular day had God in it. God has shown up. And when we start to pile those unspectacular days together, we could realize that we are doing something extraordinary as we share God's love, as we share God's hope, as we share God's grace with others. There is no event so commonplace that God is not there. Because every moment of our day has possibilities to share that grace. And as we make those choices, as we make those changes in our lives, slowly but surely our priorities change as well. We begin to seek those times, seek those moments. On that first day, when Jesus called those disciples, they were brash, they were impulsive, they were stubborn, and they undoubtedly smelled of fish. And the decision to follow Jesus, it didn't change all that in that moment. It wasn't a light bulb that went off, a snap of the fingers. They didn't change in that moment. But they started to. They made a choice to step out, a choice to follow. They had to learn day by day what it meant to follow Jesus. They had to learn day by day what it meant to be the church, to build the church. And guess what, my friends? We still do today, too. We are all still learning, all still stepping out day by day. We grow in faith not only in those memorable mountaintop moments. We grow in those soon-to-be-forgotten small instances. Those forgettable moments when we choose to open our Bible or pray instead of turn on the TV. To do better with the next hour than we did with the last. To give something back to the world that we would rather keep for ourselves. We become faithful when we repent of a misspent hour, of an unnecessary or hurtful word, of a wasted opportunity. With each of those choices, we make the choice to once again follow me, that calling that Jesus still makes to each of us. In every moment, God offers us another opportunity, another chance to take a step in the direction of Jesus Christ, to begin life anew, to live with purpose, to live with hope and love. At the beginning of this message, I said how much I would like to have that little life assistant GPS, something to guide me through and help me make those tough decisions. My friends, the truth is we have just such a device. It's the best GPS available on the market today. It will not be updated. It will not be changed. It will not be improved upon. It is the best model available because we have the God positioning system. It is our GPS. God is there in those times of trial, in those times of need. God is there in the extraordinary, and God is there in the ordinary. When life presents us with a choice, with a challenge, with a decision, God is with us. What it comes down to is how we choose to respond. Will we follow the directions of that GPS? Will we listen to where it's instructing us to go? Or will we, like Michael Scott, drive our car into a lake because we refuse to listen, refuse to understand? My friends, the choice, as always, it remains ours. So I implore you, I encourage you to follow that GPS, to choose God this day, follow that guidance today, tomorrow, and always. I had my sermon all nice and buttoned up, And then just yesterday, I had a friend who shared a prayer. He's preaching the same text today. And he shared a prayer for all of us fellow preachers who are going to be preaching this today. And he titled it, Call Us Again, and I asked him if I could include it as our close for today. So I ask you, will you join me in this word of prayer as we end our times together? Oh God, we never imagined how difficult it would be to follow and not lead, to listen and not talk, to take directions from you. But here we are again, talking too much, listening too little, and leading one another into troubled places. Call us again, O Lord, and we will listen this time. Call us again, O Lord, and we will follow. And Father God, if we should fail you again, Father God, when we fail you again, please suffer us to try anew, for we will try again, and we will follow. Amen.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. Even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. I will fear no evil, for my God is with me, and my God is with me. Whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, he never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, he never let go, every high and every low. Oh no, he never let go, Lord, he never let go of me. I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. A glorious light beyond all compare. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you here on the earth. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me, and my God is with me. Whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, he never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, he never let go, in every high and every low. Oh no, he never let go, he never let go of me. I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Oh no, you never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, he never let go, and every high and every low. Oh no, he never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Through the storm, oh no, never let go. Very high, very low, oh no, never let go. Lord, you never let go of me. Lord, you never let go of me. Lord, you never let go of me.
Thank you, Lord.
Let us go forth. Go forth bathed in the light and love of God. Go forth to join with Jesus to proclaim the good news of this love and light. Go forth empowered by the Spirit to live the way with courage, conviction, and joy. Go with God's blessing. Amen.